All right, happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Game day, there's a Buccaneers game, which means Ira Kaufman is fired up. He is in the house for his award-winning podcast. Sage, you're looking good. We're in the gray Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Brandon Gear, Tampa's only Hall of Fame voter. Ira, how are you today?
Doing well. All the chatter ends tonight, my man. Oh, we got action on the field, baby. We got action. You better be ready, Dolphins. You better strap those chin straps nice and tight. Bucks coming after you. Rondé Barber behind the microphone just got a four-year contract deal. They like what he's doing. Good for him. I think he's rising just like John Lynch did at Fox Sports. Lynch worked his way up from the bottom. All of a sudden, next thing you know, he was the number two group behind Troy Aikman. He was on the rise. I think Rondé's following the same path. Saw him out here yesterday. He's soaking up Buck morsels. Rondé, he knows this team as well as anyone. Look, guys, the depth chart's out. Preliminary depth chart, Lee. We don't want to read too much into it. You know, Alex Kappa, get his shot. You know, Dotson's not going to play. Let's see what happens. Let's see what Fitzpatrick does. Let's see what Winston does. Let's see what Cutter's plan is. We might be able to tell some things tonight by the time it's over. We might know a little bit more about the 2018 Bucks.
With Rondé, I got a question for you. The four-year contract, is that with Fox Sports?
He's got a new four-year deal with Channel 8. Well-deserved. Look, he knows this organization since he's been here. You know, it's 20 years since he joined the Bucks. People don't remember that Rondé Barber got off to a very shaky start as a Buck player. People wanted to run him out of town. He questioned whether he was ever going to make it in the NFL. And now, to me, he's on the brink of being in the room for discussion in the Hall of Fame. So quite a turnaround for Rondé. I'm proud of him. He puts his work in, Lee. He's been out here a lot.
Well, he's in Jason Light's kitchen cabinet. They're very tight.
You're a member of that cabinet, aren't you?
No, I'm not a member of that cabinet. No, if I was, I'd be Minister of Propaganda, I guess. I don't know.
Nice.
But, yeah, he's in Light's kitchen cabinet. But who was the other corner? He started for the Bucks in the Super Bowl year. People wanted to run him out of town. He was from USC. He was one of Keyshawn's.
Brian Kelly.
He turned out to be pretty good. And there again, when he first started out, people wanted to run him out of town. It just seems, and I don't know if it's exclusive to Bucks fans or this area, but they have no patience for guys like rookies. They have no patience for players working their way up. They expect rookies to be all pros.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Brian Kelly, Lee, because I believe, and I know I'm right about this, that championship game against the Rams, that 11-6 game, he was beaten by Ricky Pearl. Now, that was a beautifully thrown ball by
Warner.
And Kelly developed from that stage on. He was a very prominent member of the Super Bowl champion team. Kelly turned into a really good player.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the play that turned Brian Kelly's career around, and I was there. This is when the Trib had money. And I'm going to say it was 2001. They were playing Dallas in Dallas. Emmitt Smith was still an effective player at that time, but he was finishing up a Hall of Fame career. And Dallas drove the length of the field. The game on the line.
Hard to do it on that defense.
And they were on like the 1 or 2 yard line. And they gave the ball to Emmitt Smith. Now, Emmitt Smith ended up with 160 something touchdowns. I mean, a tremendous total of touchdowns. And he was famous for scoring from 1 yard line. I mean, that's the toughest yard to get in football. Smith was almost unstoppable. And of course, the Cowboys had a great line.
They did.
He skirted left end. There was only one guy in his way. It was Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly dropped him for no gain on fourth down. All the Buck players went crazy, and a few of us up in the press box said, Brian Kelly has turned the corner, literally and figuratively. So what are you looking for? What are you looking for tonight?
Wait a minute, Sage. Hold on.
We got you didn't write anything down, did you? That's the first precursor that there's trouble on the horizon.
Yeah, a couple of things, Ira. First thing first, I never understood the whole Rondé Barber slow start thing. The guy was a third-round pick. He comes into an excellent defense, doesn't start right away. In year two, he's the team's second-leading tackler at cornerback behind Derrick Brooks.
Rondé said himself, Steve, his rookie season, he got embarrassed out there. He looked like he didn't belong.
Well, most rookies can say the same thing. So, I don't know. I never bought into some fans love to romanticize, it took Rondé 3 years to figure it out. No, it didn't.
So you're saying by the 99 season, we're talking about that championship game from that 99 season, he was established already as a starter.
Well, no, he was a 97 pick in 98. He was in 1998, he was the second leading tackler on this team. and which is extraordinary at cornerback as a 5'8 guy.
How many games did
he
start? You got it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me. Not at all, Ira. Now, speaking of in front of me is the excitement of Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, your fantastic sponsors of the podcast. We appreciate all of their support. The website's edmorriscadillactampa.com. And we'll start right there, Ira. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Right now, extraordinary zero down opportunities, zero security, zero down, zero first payment. These are on 2018 clearance models. All the details are at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. And their website, again, edmorriscadillactampa.com. And right there, Causeway Boulevard in Brandon, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. See it on their website now. Pick your car, pick your payment. How about that, Ira?
They've been a stalwart sponsor, Lee. They've been behind us right from day one.
They love you, Ira.
They're the reason you're here. Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon.com. Tremendous pre-owned opportunities. That's where you start your car shopping search. This is Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon. Ed Morris Cadillac, Tampa. And we're even going to talk about them later, Ira. So how about that?
Hey, by the way, it's worth mentioning, Steve. Our man will be on the scene for the game on Thursday night. Mr. Lee DeKemper. Prowling the press box, you know, looking for empanadas and Warren Sapp in that order. And then post-game, he'll be all over that locker room.
Absolutely. Now, I can't take you off the hook, Ira. You're talking to Rondé Barber after practice, one-on-one. What did he give you? Give me an impression. What did Rondé tell you? Something interesting?
Ira's sitting there with his arms stretched like, what are you talking about?
We're talking about beet salads over there, Rondé and I. I didn't ask him about I could ask him about Terrell Owens. Could ask him about that. You know what we talked about? We talked about the front group, the defensive front of the Buccaneers, and how I told him, you know, look, Lee, you're tired of me saying it, just like I'm tired of you dumping on Charles Sims. But, you know me with that defensive front.
Oh, look, he's writing.
How everything can change. Everything changes with the pass rush. And Rondé was talking. And we were talking about no national love for the team. And Rondé says this team can surprise a lot of people. Now, what else is he going to say? You know, he does their preseason games. He's affiliated with the team. Yeah. But I think he's genuine. I think he believes it. I think he feels there's a lot of talent out here. You know, it all starts tonight, Lee.
Well, we all saw Dirk Cutter on Hard Knocks last year. Said this team has the most talent since he's been associated with the Bucs. Well, they certainly added to that talent in this offseason. So when are we going to see the results with all this talent?
I also was all talking to Mike Smith at length because I knew I was going to do something on Chris
Conley. He's mad at me, isn't he?
No, he didn't say anything about you, DeKemper, but he never does. but I knew I was doing something on Chris Conte. So, I talked to Smith, and I didn't need a quote from him, but I just told him what the theme of my story about Chris Conte. He goes, that's absolutely right, Ira. That is the right angle. You know what? I might as well reveal it because... I'll spit it out. Every year somebody comes in to take this guy's job, and they can't do it. Yeah. He's a survivor. And so anyway, I was talking to Smith, and I congratulated him for getting a shout-out from Ray Lewis. Yes, the Ray Lewis. And my Saturday night was so exciting, I watched all seven speeches, you know.
That's entertainment.
Yeah. And I was jealous because I like to be in Canton. I love that trip. But I don't go if I don't get a buck in. I don't go. Mm. So we'll see when I can go. Now, I'm going to go next year after the inductions because I'm on the senior committee. But anyway, I was talking to him about congratulating him. He got a shout-out from Ray Lewis. When Ray Lewis was talking about his coaches that helped him all through the years, he mentioned Mike Smith. I also said to Mike Smith, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I watched Brian Urlacher's speech. It's a 20-minute speech. I'm looking at Lovie Smith. They show him in the, you know, seventh row sitting there with his wife.
Was he?
Urlacher never mentioned him. He never mentioned Lovie Smith. And they went to a Super Bowl together. Smith thought that was a mistake on Urlacher's part. He thought it was very puzzling. Maybe it was just an oversight. You know, he's thanking a million people, and you don't thank your head coach for much of your career with the Bears.
I think that's an oversight because didn't he rave about Lovie when he came to the Bucs? If I recall correctly.
Well, you know what? I'm going to write about that on Joe Bucs Fan. I'm going to go back and actually watch
that speech
just in case you missed something. And if not,
And I believe the camera showed Lovie. He was, you know, he's got the white beard now. You know.
And, if I saw my career just a few weeks away, I'd have a white beard too.
And I believe I saw the Illinois, the Illinois AD sitting behind Lovie with a shiv in his hand over there. So that's a story for another day.
Well, has he won a Big Ten game?
He's on the spot. Lovie's
on the spot. I think he's won one Big Ten game. I think. I could be dead wrong, but that's he's brutal.
Oh, boy.
Well, Rex Ryan said not too long ago, Ira, on SiriusXM NFL Radio, that Ray Lewis got a lot of people jobs in the NFL. And Bucks fans, if Mike Smith doesn't improve this year, they'll put him in the category of, oh, yeah, Ray Lewis got this guy a job. Now, of course, Smith had a really an excellent run.
He did. He had with a good run Falcons. In Atlanta.
Excellent. Well, he did a good job with the Jags. That's how he got the job in Atlanta.
This year will prove whether he still has it. This year will prove it.
Obviously, I hope. I really do. I can't sugarcoat things. Only 5 games in 2 years has that defense looked respectable. You know, I think
harsh. That's harsh.
Well, it's fact. I mean, granted, when he played last year, and I think the world of Mike Smith as a human being, great guy, fantastic guy. But darn it, he's not a priest. He's a football coach. He's paid for results. I think it baffles you, Ira, if not confuses you. Why was it every time they played in a dome on the road, it's like they never showed up, the defense? It's like they were still on the bus. I can't figure that out.
Yep. There's no question. A lot of our readers and a lot of our listeners squarely have the spotlight on Mike Smith. You read the comments, Steve. A lot of them focus on Mike Smith, that he's got to get the job done this year. He's got more talent, maybe a lot more talent, to work with. And if it's not a respectable defense, they want him out of town. And you know what? You won't be able to defend Mike Smith at that point.
No, they'd be right. And Lee's on the money with the road stuff. You know, I'll disagree on the sense that, hey, Bucks first 3 home games last year, Bears, Giants, Patriots. Defense was fine. Defense was fine, if not good, in those games. And then it seemed to just fall apart. Every time they went on the road, they didn't show up.
Really bad on the road. Really bad.
Domes especially.
You know, things went down. But, you know, by the time the podcast comes out, we'll have read your column on Conte. So we'll see.
Why
see
do what people hate Conte so much, Ira? Is it because he's married to a cheerleader? What?
I don't know, but she was sitting right next to him when I asked him the questions, and I had a problem looking Conte in the face and keeping my focus over there. He also had a little toddler, walking, you know, very cute. Very, very, very cute.
And you know what? He was not a fan favorite in Chicago either.
He said that to me. Well, you'll read it in the column, but he goes, everywhere I go, the fans are on me. They're all over me. Because first thing I said to him, I go, Chris, you've never been in a playoff game. You've never been in a playoff. He joined the Bears.
You know how to warm a guy up.
Yeah. Isn't that a beautiful opener,
green room etiquette.
A little softball to start with. But it got him talking about how, you know, he says that's a big part of why the fans are on my case. They, you know, I haven't been on a lot of winning teams. They won 10 games once in Chicago, didn't make the playoffs. Won 9 games with the Bucks a few years ago.
One for him, they don't beat the Chiefs.
That was maybe the biggest play of the year on a positive. That game, that pick against the
Chiefs. The two people that Bucks fans like to throw darts at is McCoy and Conte. McCoy tipped a pass. The Chiefs had the ball in the red zone. They're about ready to score the go-ahead touchdown. McCoy tipped a pass. Conte caught it and ran it back to midfield. Only thing Jameis had to do was get a first down and seal the win, which he did.
By the way, speaking of that, you have a stat about Jameis Winston and first downs that you laid on me today.
Yeah, it was Scott Kaxmar of Football Outsiders. He was doing a piece for BSPN, and he said no quarterback this century has thrown for more first downs percentage-wise than Jameis Winston. Or one quarterback has more. It's Peyton Manning.
And it's percentage. It's percentage.
Yeah, and that shocked me. That absolutely shocked me. And it just demonstrates that Jameis moves the ball. For whatever reason, the offense bogs down in the red zone. But only one quarterback better than him. Not Aaron Rodgers, not Tom Brady, not Roethlisberger. It's only Peyton Manning. And number 2 is Winston. And you know what? What do coaches like? Move the chains. Well, he certainly does that.
Steve, how do you think Cutter plans to use Winston tonight?
Well, I think the stat Lee's talking about, a lot of that goes to Dirk Cutter's offense. It sort of shines a light on the way Dirk likes to call a game. And he's not afraid to push the ball down the field. And that's part of it.
He's got a quarterback that loves to do that himself.
As far as tonight.
Too much, maybe.
As far as tonight, Cutter spoke on Tuesday after practice, Ira. And he talked about, look, I'm not about to start leaving Donovan Smith out there for more than the reps that he's supposed to get just to protect a quarterback. I'm not going to do that to guys and play that game with the quarterbacks. The implication was I'll just run the ball, you know, or I'll throw the fourth string guy out there if I'm concerned. So I think we're just going to see Jameis, I believe, as the second quarterback out there. I think we'll get Ryan Fitzpatrick for the first quarter, and then Jameis will come out next. And then I think they'll give the second half to Griffin. I think that's how it'll go.
Now, Steve, when I agree with your interpretation of Cutter's remarks. When Cutter said he doesn't, you know, basically, I don't want to get my quarterback killed out there by a third string. You think he was talking more about Winston or more about Ryan Griffin? Well, at this point, because Griffin's one snap away from playing the first three games.
That's true. But then again, you know, the franchise. Are you comfortable, Ira, with caterers blocking for Jameis?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Because the odds are overwhelming that Winston's going to be under center in week four or week six after the bye week. It's overwhelming. I mean, you know, are they going to go 3-0? Very unlikely. Well, you know, that would cause a problem. You know, hey, I don't know. Maybe we'll stick with Fitzpatrick. It's unlikely. Buck fans are just trying to win one of the first three games. Yeah. Never mind go 3-0.
I'm the same way. I hope somehow Ryan Fitzpatrick steals a win.
Steve, Winston's still on this roster. They didn't cut him. So if you don't cut the guy, I think the implication is he's still our guy going forward, at least for this season. This season. We'll deal with next season.
Well, he's not going to ride the bench unless it's a really unique situation with incredible success. And
Fitzpatrick knows that. He knows that. There's no question
about
it.
Sure, he knows that. He's a competitor, though. He's going out to win games. And we've said this before. If they win and play well, you know, the whole team is going to be walking into work after let's say they beat the Steelers, wondering, ooh, who's the quarterback? I mean, that's just the way this thing is setting up. Now, that'll be Dirk Cutter's call, and they'll go from there.
And you know what? If that's the case, if it's a little bit dicey, right after the Steelers game, which means like 1 o'clock in the morning when Cutter gets to the podium, he should immediately announce who's starting in week four. Immediately.
I would think so. You know my stance on this, and I gotta catch a flight as soon as we're done here, so I don't want to. I don't feel like jumping into the Tampa Bay. At any rate, here's
you're going to watch your beloved Cardinals.
I'm going to Miami to watch the Cardinals. It just happened, just perfect timing. But here's one for you. What do you think of this, Ira? Steve and I talked about this. Jenna Lane was talking about Jameis. Obviously, you know, outside the Tampa Bay area, that's the only thing people care about with the Bucks is Jameis. I know there are a lot of Buck fans that drives them nuts, but that's just the way it is. And Jenna said that, and I think we can all agree that Jameis has this desire to be the best he could be and encompasses him too much. I mean, it gets him into trouble because he tries to force things too much. Even Dirk Cutter said, you know, lead from the rear kind of thing. Well, as Jenna said, when Jameis takes the field on the fourth game, and yeah, I said it, when he takes the game takes the field on the fourth game, he's already missed 3 weeks. He's going to be so revved up. Disaster could ensue. What's your take on that?
Well, it's a little bit of a negative thinking. Look, the guy's got 45 starts under his belt. This ain't no green rookie we're talking about. He's got 45 starts. If he's still unable to control his emotions, Steve, and not play within the game plan, that's on number three. I'm not going to blame Cutter, you know, for Winston committing a flurry of turnovers. That has to stop. And it's got to stop right now, not only for the sake of his football team, but for the sake of Winston's future. He's got a lot of money riding on that 19 contract. If things don't work out, if he goes 5-8 with the 2018 Bucks, it's a serious question whether I want to give him $21 million.
Even if the defense is a sieve?
Even if the defense is a sieve. You can't go 5-8. You can't do it.
Well, Ira, I think you ignored the premise of Lee's question, which was if you have a player who's prone to getting overly excited and getting overly hyped and is coming into a situation off the street and acts like this, forget about what he shouldn't do. If this is how he acts, why stick him into that situation when you can let him practice, let him take the bye week, and let him take a deep breath and command the team?
Well,
after
I'm
that.
Not sure Lee would say if you let him take a week off that he still wouldn't act that way, you know, when he finally gets in line.
Exactly.
I understand what you're saying, Steve, but he's had 3 years. They've talked to him
There's no excuses. But there's also no excuses for Cutter for not knowing the best player to play in a certain situation. So the idea the fans want to win. And
the way the schedule's set up, Steve, you know, it provokes some questions about the timing,
and we love it,
of when Winston should come back. If the bye week was in week 9, we're probably not having this kind of discussion.
No, of course not. Of course, and it just makes it fun. Now, Ira, regarding practice on Tuesday, I talked to Ryan Jensen afterwards, and this ties to tonight's game. I asked Jensen, "Look, man, You know, everybody, you know, calls you Mr. Nasty, and that's the thing. So obviously you don't want to start playing nasty and after the whistle on your own teammates. Does this mean opening night of preseason is a chance where we actually get to see what you play like? And he said, absolutely. He used the term take the leash off because, you know, he acknowledged, no, I'm not about to just start, you know, mauling my teammates, even though I'm playing 100%. There's a fine line there and it's different. So I'm very excited to see that tonight, what that might look like.
He knows his reputation, Steve, and he embraces it.
So that was his line, take the leash off, and that should be fun. What else are you looking for, Sage? What are you looking for? But before you answer that,
uh-oh.
Now I know after games you like to do your 10 takeaways, so you'll give us your 5 or 10 things you're looking for. But one thing we're looking for is for everyone to go to fanretreat.com for the Bourbon Street Takeover. See all the details there, fanretreat.com, where you can go to the party at Manning Sports Bar, 5 o'clock the night before the season opener in New Orleans to hang out with Bucks fans and Ira and the commish and Lee. Big pep rally kind of hangout.
Maybe
a lot of fun.
Maybe a mystery guest, you never know.
Excellent mixer. Two mystery guest possibilities. Oh. But it really doesn't matter. Mystery guests, it's not about the mystery guests. It's about you and Bucks fans bonding on the road. And this is a full encompassing trip. Get your flights, your hotel, your game tickets. FanRetreat.com is your home for all event tickets, raise tickets, concert tickets, wherever it is across the country, hotels, rental vehicles. You can use your Joe Bucks fan discount code on tickets, actual tickets, which is great.
Guys, if you can't have fun in New Orleans, you're a helpless case. You're a helpless case.
Yeah, this is the road trip of the season, the party of the season, and what a way to kick it off. FanRetreat.com. This is where you want to go to get that done.
By the way, Steve.
You go to FanRetreat.com. You see popular retreats. You click on that. That's where you get the info. What do you got, Sage?
I was going to give you a nugget. The Saints have lost 4 straight season openers. There you go. 4 straight season openers. You're New Orleans Saints. So jump on them early, Tampa. Oh, nice.
It's actually 3 straight season openers, Ira. We're hoping to make it 4.
I thought it was 4. I'm going to check it again.
Yeah, 3 straight at home that their home openers, 3 in a row.
How do you know they didn't lose the other one on the road?
I don't know. Home openers, they're 0-3. So we're going to hope and make it 0-4.
I said they've lost 4 straight season right. openers. Now you're questioning right. me without
I'm
knowing the facts.
I'm okay. questioning the Sage. Bad, right. bad form.
Bad form.
All right, Ira, tonight, what are you looking for in this game? Whether it be personal matchups or Cutter or getting out of there alive with the banged up offensive line, what are you looking for?
I'm looking at the young punks. I'm looking at the young punks. By that I mean yes, you, Ronald Jones, catch a freaking ball without bobbling it or dropping it, break off an 18-yard run, Mr. Ronald Jones. Show me a little blocking that you can handle a blitzer, Mr. Jones. Me and Mr. Jones. Remember that?
Who did that song?
I'm looking at you, Mr. Kappa. Mr. Kappa, great opportunity now. Would Benenock hurt? Looks like you got past him a little bit. I don't care what that preliminary depth chart says. Kappa's out there practicing. You know, you can't make the team from the tub. you can't be a starter from the tub. So I want to see Kappa. Now, look, there's not a lot. I've checked, Lee. There's not a lot of 6'5", 6'6 guards in this league. He's built like a right tackle.
I know
and
you've been on
a right guard.
You've been on that since
he
was drafted. Since,
you know, I still think he's going to be the eventual replacement for Dotson. We'll see. I'm looking at the young guys, Steve. I think that's what we need to look at. I'm looking at Mr. Taylor filling in for Beckwith. How you doing out there? I'm looking at Quan Alexander running around like a nut. And last but not least, gentlemen, I'm looking at the field goal kicker. Make some kicks. I guess he's having a good camp. I don't think he's great, but I think he's an upgrade. I believe the number is the Bucks have missed, I think, 29 field goal attempts in the last 3 years. Lee, that sounds incredible. 29. That's 10 a year.
Well, this kicking, like Steve wrote the other day.
That costs you ball games. That costs you ball
like
games.
Like Steve wrote the other day, that infamous basketball game, and I can't remember the kicker's name. He blew his Achilles. In a charity game. Ever since then, the Bucks kicking position has been a complete circus.
Kind of bar.
By the way, Billy Paul, is that the guy who sang that? Me and Mrs.
Very
Jones?
Good. Billy Paul. And who's still kicking like crazy? Like crazy.
Bryant.
Bryant. The guy's more, he's in his 40s.
Have you taken down that RuPaul poster in your...
Take it easy there, Steve. Just because you're watching the Wendy Williams show every day. Do I pick on you for that?
Ira comes up with a blast.
Wendy Williams.
But you're also correct about Bryant. Not Antonio Brown. I always say Antonio Brown.
Matt Bryant.
They really have never recovered from that with the brief career of
Connor
Barth.
It's been a freaking decade. A decade.
You know, Mark Dominic nickel and dimed him. And in the short term, yeah, that's great. Looks great on an accounting spreadsheet. But in the long run, it killed this franchise.
I asked Cutter on Tuesday, Ira, about Ronald Jones. Because Cutter in the past has said he can't evaluate running backs in training camp. You can't really do that. It's not real football. So I sort of threw that on him, asked him how important this is in preseason on Ronald Jones. And he said it's important, but then he was basically saying, well, you know, all that work at USC and what I can tell out here, you know, that's just as important or more kind of thing. So he threw a little cold water on it. But I think for Jones tonight is really critical. You can't fumble because you'll lose the trust, and you got to show something to get the carries.
Aren't you the guy that asked Cutter that question last week about the – Jones' fumble and whether, you give him a break because he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And he gave you a one-word answer.
He did.
And what was that word?
No.
No.
Well, Ira, when you brought that up about Jones, I'm not saying you're wrong, but when you brought that up about Jones, it crossed my mind. Didn't the Bucks? I mean, it would be, to me, completely irresponsible when they put the guy through workouts and they never threw passes to him. I can't imagine they would go through workouts with Ronald Jones. Didn't have somebody throwing passes.
I think they had the feeling that he didn't get the opportunity. He didn't get the opportunity at Southern Cal.
That's true.
To work with that passing game, and that's something that we're going to develop with this kid. And it's a work in progress.
But still, if he was horrible in workouts at the pass, I wouldn't think they would have drafted him that high. Unless they're completely irresponsible,
well,
and Jason Light's not irresponsible.
It's one thing catching a ball with no defender coming
out. Yeah, it's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But, yeah, it just obviously you draft a running back to – hello, run the ball.
Yes.
So I just find if he was that stone hands in workouts, I know, and I fully understand that's not practice, that's not a game situation. But if he was that much of a stone hands in workouts, I doubt that they would have drafted him second round.
Steve, if he can beat a home run hitter that this team envisions him to be, boy, what a help that would, what a tonic that would be for Cutter's offense, Steve, to pick up 28 yards at a clip instead of going 80 yards in 16 plays. In the words of Lovie Smith, gentlemen, that's tough sledding. And I think Ray Lewis used that phrase.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I almost fell off my couch. That's tough sledding.
Well, I thought Lovie Smith's favorite saying was Michael Jenkins.
That's tough sledding, Stephen.
Quick,
you got to pick up yards and chunks in this league. You got to do it.
Quick comparison, Ira. I think, you know, with Jones, it wouldn't surprise me if they really didn't care about his pass receiving. I mean, these guys are coaches.
Yeah,
right?
I don't want to dwell on his pass receiver.
Well, I'm saying Dirk Cutter, you know, these guys, they view themselves as teachers.
Yes.
And that they know how to develop a running back and as far as catching. And, look, Dirk Cutter thinks every rookie running back can't pass block to begin with because they didn't really have to.
If it's third and eight, you want to throw a pass to your back, you put Charles Simpson. That's what he's there for.
Because he didn't really have to do it in college, most of these backs, and the changes in the offenses in college, whatever. But you look at, going back to Cadillac Williams, and I just pulled him up, because John Gruden used to talk about, oh, you know, Cadillac turned into this incredible pass blocker and pass catcher, and we developed him, and it was a whole different aspect of his game that just sort of came out of being in the pro level. I took a peek back. Here's a little trivia question for you. In 4 years at Auburn, of course, Peyton Barber went to Auburn, but in 4 years at Auburn, how many balls do you think Cadillac Williams caught? 4 years.
46.
Three.
45.
Whoa.
Not bad, Sage. Not bad. So, I mean, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
And,
no, that's not a lot.
You know, his junior year, he ran for 1,300 yards, caught 5 passes. So they developed him, and, you know, but the Jones thing, he's got to show something. Otherwise, this is not going to be. It doesn't mean they can't run him. But
the least point, he's there to run the football.
He's there to run the football. I just want them to have trust in Jones. They got to use him to get these big runs. And if Cutter's nervous about the guy, he's going to wait his turn.
And if he can't catch, defenses know that.
Sure, it's a tip-off when he comes on the field.
Yeah, it's a tip-off.
All right, two things, Ira, real quick. Of course, now your podcast, dominating on the Google.
That's a strong word, Steve. Strong word, dominating.
But accurate.
Dominating on the Google Play top charts. all genres. Everybody can see it there. It's funny. I was looking at it last night, and I always like to see the – sometimes I click on the podcast that I don't recognize, which most of them I don't, like who's next to Ira. And one of them was a – the one next to you was a podcast that actually analyzes – the West Wing TV show. They pick an episode every week and they dive deep on all the nuances.
Oh,
and
my God. So
it was kind of funny. And the other one was...
I got to beat out Martin Sheen. I'm fighting against Martin Sheen over there.
Well, you know, and the other one was a podcast that basically is two women in their, say, 20s, early 30s, talking about disgusting activities with men.
How am I going to compete against that, DeCamper?
Well, I got a great Martin Sheen story for you. When I was in college, and anything in the 50s, I hated. I rubbed me the wrong way, like fingernails on a blackboard. I didn't like
it. Oh, that was a nothing decade. Nothing happened in the 50s.
Just to clarify, Lee did not go to college in the 50s.
No, I did not. No, I wasn't even conceived in the 50s.
Good thing, rock and roll was born in the mid-50s. That's the only good thing that came out of it.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Well, anyway, so I didn't give a darn about pop culture of the 50s. So when I was in college... this guy, he had a poster of some dude. I had never seen it before. And I looked at it and like, hey, what, the poster of Martin Sheen?
You're kidding.
He became enraged. It was a poster of James Dean.
Oh.
And I thought it was Martin Sheen.
You know what? Martin Sheen started off. Now, look, I'm going to give my age a little bit here. But there was a movie when he was, you know, like 25 or 30. And it was a hell of a movie. He was Sissy Spacek in it. They go on a murderous rampage. The name of the movie?
Not Bonnie and Clyde.
Badlands.
I've heard of it.
And I think it triggered Springsteen's song, Badlands. There's my Springsteen. There you go. anyway, a young Martin Sheen was in it. And he looks like a young James Dean.
Okay, so yeah. It wasn't that far off.
Steve, remember Martin Sheen getting thrown off a building in that movie with Nicholson, Scorsese movie?
Who did it, James Brown?
No.
Jim Brown, I mean?
I can't think of the name, man. I'm going to think of it by the end of this podcast.
Jim Brown's famous for throwing people off balconies, isn't he?
Steve, right. He got thrown off a building.
I don't know. I didn't see the movie. I don't know what movie you're talking about. All right.
Matt Damon, DiCaprio, Nicholson. Hell of a
all
cast.
All those guys?
Yeah, they're all in that.
Leonard DiCaprio.
Yes.
What, was he 2 years old?
No, DiCaprio played it. No, I'm talking not Badlands. I'm talking about this movie with Scorsese from like the 80s or 90s. Anyway.
Casino?
No. Come on, Isbeth, you got a computer in front of you. Can you help me?
What am I supposed to look up?
Oh, boy.
All right, Ira.
Got thrown off a building. Not in New York, the gangs in New York or wherever.
Got thrown off a building. It was in Boston. It was shot in Boston. Go ahead, Steve. You may continue.
No problem.
Nicholson as a mob boss. He was a mob boss in Boston. You guys got to know that movie.
No, I don't. I'm not a big
You don't even know it.
It was a great movie. I'm getting old, man. Yeah. And by the way, I got a birthday Saturday. I got a birthday coming up Saturday, Steve. What are you going to bring me? You going to bring me something?
We'll get you something. We'll get you something.
I'll tell it on next week's podcast.
Well, I know you're talking about Medicare, so.
Here's your clue. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Oh,
that's your clue.
From the movie?
No. It's a famous Beatles song. Now, come on,
all
Steve.
Right, enough of this stuff.
No, I wouldn't even know
all
that.
All of our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about, and you two guys have no idea. Will you still need me?
I guarantee you.
It's off the Sgt. Pepper album. Come on, guys.
I guarantee you our listeners who are under 35 years old don't know Sgt. Pepper from Sgt. Carter.
I just thought of the name of the movie, The Departed. The Departed, Scorsese.
You know,
vintage Scorsese. Anyway, you Sgt. Pepper, ring a bell, guys?
One of the great albums
of all time?
I've heard of it.
All right.
I know Sergeant Carter.
Well, do you know what that line's from? Will you still need me? Mm.
I know Sergeant Carter.
Are you listening to me, listeners? What am I going to do with these two guys? Steve's telling me about podcasts with two women talking about all kinds of things, and I got these two nudniks with me.
And what's the name
what
of this
What am I going to do?
What's the name of this Academy Award-winning movie?
The Departed.
I've never heard of it. But I'm not that big of a movie guy.
Listeners, feel some pity for me at this point. Pity me.
I'm more into Kay Adams.
Your first movie that you remember is Jurassic Park over there. Steve, what else we got? Are we going to wrap this puppy up?
No, we're not wrapping this puppy up on that note. Hey, you were at practice today looking around. What stood out? Anything stand out to you? You like the vibe of this team? Anything? You like the indoor facility? You change your vibe on that?
You know what I like the most? You couldn't have more of a contrast between the vibe, the overall vibe, this year and last summer. with the Hard Knocks cameras coming off 9-7. National guys. Guys, I'm going to say it again. When's a freaking National Writer going to come to this town?
No.
Can I get Pat Kerwin? Alex, yeah. Marvez, where are you?
I think Saturday.
I'll take Prickly Pete Prisco at this point.
Oh, Prickly Pete will show up. It's only
these
a four-hour
drive.
These
guys are crisscross crossing the country. They're all over the place. Can you come to Tampa? What are we, a remote outpost over here? TIA is one of the great airports in the world. You get in, you get out. Boom, boom, boom. Nobody wants to see this team. If Cutter can't use this to his advantage, he's not the motivator we think he is, Lee.
Pat Kerwin's supposed to be here Saturday.
It's a very different vibe than last year. I've had players and coaches tell me that. It's very, very different. And in a lot of ways, it should be a positive.
Kerwin and Jim Miller are expected here Saturday.
I'm going to corral Kerwin.
And Prickly Pete, it's only a four-hour drive from Lauderdale. So
Kerwin lives in Naples, I believe. I'm going to ask him about the Red Tide, which I believe is destroying that town up and down the West Coast.
Well, he's a big fisherman. He fishes a lot. Wow. As a matter of fact, he's done his radio show from the boat.
Well, my buddy in Fort Myers says it's a disaster down there. Enough of ecology, right, Steve? You're not into ecology.
You don't have to fish anymore. You just scoop them up off the beach.
They're all dead.
So if you look at this, you keep sort of hinting, Ira, that Hard Knocks was a problem for this team.
Yes, I do, and so, I do more than hint.
Looking back at it, are you going to say here that Hard Knocks really had a hand in screwing this team up last year?
I'm not going to say it cost them three losses. You know what it did? It exposed a lack of leadership, a lack of maturity on this team. In the words of DeMar Dotson, guys mugging for the camera, doing things they wouldn't normally do, that doesn't happen on a veteran team. You get straightened out in 3 seconds over there. Hey, cut that out. Keep your focus. Didn't happen last year. I'm not saying that directly led to 11 losses. It didn't help, Lee. It didn't help.
I don't disagree with you, but which hurt this team worse? The Hurricane or Hard Knocks? I just have a hard time figuring out how Hard Knocks hurt the team in November.
Well, you would think the Hurricane, but Steve, they come out and play a hell of a game against the bad Chicago team, but they kicked their ass like they should.
Like they should.
And after that game ended, you say, coming off a 9-7 season, hey, this is a pretty good football team. Now,
and then
sooner or later, Isbeth is going to ask me for my prediction about the 2018 Bucks, and I'm going to tell Steve, I'm out of the prediction business because I had them with 10 wins last year, and I was only off by five games, well, Steve. Only off by five
you
games.
You were not alone. But, yeah, they looked great against the Bears. Well, they didn't look great because even in offense at that game, and I thought was sputtering.
That was little Mike Glennon. That was poor Mike Glennon.
Yeah, but even the Bucks offense I just thought was sputtering in that game. Then they went up to Minnesota, and they got shellacked.
Ira, you're making a prediction whether you like it or not. That's on your job description. You got to do it.
Let me watch a couple of preseason games. Let me watch a couple.
You can't bail on that. You got to watch your preseason. You make a pick. The people want you as the sage.
You know, everybody says preseason means nothing as we go into this Thursday night game. Lee, for some teams, it means more. For the New England Patriots, it means nothing. For this team, you got to start building a culture of winning. You got to start building a culture. Now, there's been teams that were 4-0 and I think the Detroit Lions.
You took the words out of my mouth.
But that happens.
Hogwash. Lee made a face.
Win some freaking games.
I'm right with him. It's preseason. It's vanilla. They're not gay. Come on.
Win some freaking games.
No one here is celebrating, especially in this room, if they, the first team beats Miami 10-9 in the first half. Come on.
Look good doing it. Look good. Look good, Bucks. Look sharp. Look crisp. Look aggressive. Ryan Jensen. Lead the way, Mr. Nasty.
All right, Sage, get out of here. We'll talk to you after the game next week from One Buck, and we'll look for your prediction very soon.